serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our eye-opening conversation today with 100-year-old Jane Boot, an Army nurse in World War II, who continued in nursing for four decades after the war, retiring from the VA in 1984. As an aside, if you're one of those folks who listens regularly to Hometown Heroes, you may remember another World War II nurse who served in some of the same areas as Jane. It popped into my mind this week because the Colorado Avalanche this week in Denver had 97-year-old Leela Morrison drop the puck for one of their NHL hockey games. You can find some video of that great tribute at the start of their game on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. As for Jane Boot, you heard her explain her first assignment in Iceland and the privilege of caring for a couple of Doolittle Raiders at Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington, D.C., all before she was sent over to Europe following General George S. Patton's Third Army on its march toward Germany. Jane told us how exhausting it could be in their evacuation hospital and described some of the kinds of injuries they dealt with on a daily basis.
How often would you be sent a patient that there was nothing you could do for him?
Oh, yeah, there were times like that. Yeah. Then you just gave as much comfort as you could and as much morphine as you could.
Is there a residual effect of that that wears on you day after day after day?
I can get weepy just thinking of it. Mm. I try to stay away from it.
Well, I'm sorry for pushing on that tenderness,
all right.
And I don't want to take you anywhere you don't want to go. But I am curious, as a young lady, I mean, you're in your early 20s here.
Right.
How did you handle that? Was there something that helped you endure or get through that emotional weight that you're carrying daily?
No, I don't really know. You just kind of rise to the occasion. You do what needs to be done, and sometimes you're glad to be busy because then you don't have time to think. So I was glad for the busy times.
And, I mean, you just told me how hard it was to see guys who their physical condition is such that you just can't save them.
Right.
What about their psychological condition? Did you see a variety with regard to that, of how they were handling the reality of these injuries they'd sustained?
Most of them didn't realize their own condition.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be something that shields the mind because I think they realized they were maybe injured, but I don't think they realized they were dying.
What was the hardest thing you had to do or deal with during that time?
I think just knowing that too many of these young men were dying.
I don't want to put any words in your mouth or suggest something that isn't there, but I'm just curious if you think back on specific situations or patients that you would say exemplified courage or struck you as an example of that courage that others would want to emulate?
The guys were great. I think they were more concerned about you if they realized that you were thinking about them and how it made us feel to lose any of them. We had a lot of brave men.
Being an evacuation hospital, you're treating them for just a brief period of time and then sending them on.
Right.
Was that hard to not know what happened to these guys?
No, because I knew they were going to get good care, and as soon as we could get them back to it.
And during these times, I mean, to be an evacuation hospital, that means you're close enough to where the action's happening that you're going to get them before their ultimate destination.
Right.
So there's some danger to that proximity too, isn't there? Did you ever feel that you were in danger? Were there ever bombing raids or anything that came close to where you were living?
Yeah, we had a few we had a few bullets through the canvas. It was a little scary, but we were so busy you didn't really have time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You had so much to do, and you just kept at it.
And you said something there that I want to circle back to so people get the right mental picture here. You said bullets through the canvas. You had canvas because this is an evacuation hospital that has to be mobile. You have to go to where the action is, right?
Right.
So you didn't have four walls around you.
Mm-mm.
You're just in tents?
Right.
What about when you sleep at night? Where would you sleep at night?
We had tents to sleep in, too.
Uh-huh. Was it hard to sleep?
No, because usually you're so tired, the minute you relaxed, you'd go to sleep because you were so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember one time in, the guys thought it was, they were being so nice to us, they got us cots to sleep on, which we'd have been better off on the ground because all that cold air was underneath us. I think that was the coldest night of my life. So we finally talked them into letting us sleep on the ground. It was warmer.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because, I mean, here we're talking about the Battle of the Bulge and all the casualties, but so many veterans who survived the Battle of the Bulge have told me, hey, the weather was worse than the enemy. The guys had frozen feet and frozen fingers.
It was one of the coldest seasons that North Europe had had for years.
And you'd grown up in Erie, Pennsylvania, where you get the lake effect snow. So this was worse?
It was worse.
And you didn't have a fire in the corner to put your hands by, huh?
Right.
Do you think back on anything during that time, whether it were other people or something you saw? Was there something that you think enabled you to do the difficult job you were doing on a daily basis?
I think it was my family. My mother, who always said, you know, we never went out of the house, but what she said, remember who you are, which meant you better behave yourself.
And she'd always wanted you to be a nurse.
Yes.
Little did she know you'd be dealing with the price of freedom on a daily basis there. What about the timing of all of this? Did it seem like it was lasting a long time and there was no end in sight, or could you get a feel for we're almost there, the end is near?
No, I felt like it was just going to go on and on and on because it was continuous.
No weekend passes to Paris or days away from the hospital or anything?
I got into Paris once.
Uh-huh.
I almost didn't make it, but I did. And, of course, many years later, another nurse and I went back to Europe, like in 77 or along in there, and we thought, hey, it got easier getting into Paris this time.
I guess so. You know, there's another question that I haven't asked you that I guess I have to, because I've talked to so many Purple Heart recipients who spent time in those hospitals in Europe, and to a lot of them, nurses were equivalent to angels.
Yeah.
I mean, they were saving their lives. They were the most beautiful women they'd ever seen.
Right.
Any of those guys ever get sweet on you?
Yeah, a lot of them get real attached. But no, I never took care of my husband in a situation like that.
Well, and you said it felt like it was just going on and on and on and on. So when you heard that the Germans had surrendered?
Oh, boy, that was a joyous day.
And you were in Germany by then?
Yes.
So how'd you find that news out?
They came down from commander. I guess they probably sent it out to all of the units. And I remember we stopped. We were going. We had just taken over a monastery and liberated a wine cellar. Oh, that brandy was wonderful. Boy, those monks knew how to make brandy. And we all got zonked. Boy, that brand, it was strong too, but boy, it was smooth going down. So it was easy to drink too much. So I think we all staggered around drunk for a while till it wore off.
Well, and just because the Germans have surrendered doesn't mean there aren't still soldiers who need your care.
Right.
How long did you stay over there before they let you come home?
We had been over there quite a while. So they gave us numbers, I think, and, you know, when your number came up, you got to go home. I came back pretty early because I'd been there a while. I was glad to get back, too.
What was it like to come back? I mean, you'd been away from home for a long time and didn't know when you were going to get to come back. Did you go back home and see your folks, or what'd you do?
Yeah, I went back. They all thought I was great. Showed me off, put a big piece in the Erie paper. Guy from the newspaper interviewed me.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was nice to get back.
Yeah, you live here at the Veterans Home of California, and there are a lot of combat veterans who are in here who are your neighbors. And a lot of them have shared over the years that it was hard to reengage with civilian life when they'd been in a war zone for so long. As a nurse,
right.
What about for you? Were there things that you had to process or to come full circle on or to let go? Was it hard to jump back into life in America?
Yeah, in a way it was, because you felt like these people don't really know what it's like. So it took a little bit to feel at home again.
And you decided to stick with nursing?
Yes. I went to Walter Reed, stayed there for quite a while.
As I understand, you continued to work at VA hospitals until 1984, is that right?
Yeah.
What kept you engaged in that way? What did you get out of nursing that produced that lifetime commitment to it?
A satisfaction of caring for someone who needed help.
The time that you spent around all these men who are in such a vulnerable position, they don't know if they're going to live or die. Sometimes you didn't know if they were going to live or die. When you did know, that was a heavier weight. What perspective did that give you on the men who won that war for the Allies, who secured the freedom that we still enjoy all these years later? What should we know today about who they were and what they did?
I guess, some newspaper guy, I think, called them the greatest generation, and they were, I think, because they really were selfless. Those men thought only of other people. It was just our typical American guy, kind of cowboy.
Well, you're part of that generation, too, and I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us a story that only you could tell us.
Thank you.
I know you're only 100, and you got a long way to go, but is there something, as you reflect, that you would say that you're most proud of or most thankful for?
I felt honored to serve and had the highest regard for all of the men I came in contact with. Really helped give you courage to go on.
And I know you've done a lot in 100 years. Is there anything that you still have on your list that you haven't done yet that you'd like to accomplish?
Seems to me I thought about that the other day, and I don't know whether I come up with an answer yet. I don't think so.
Well, maybe the Navy will let you wear one of those nurse's hats now.
Maybe the Navy will give me one of their nurse's caps. I was going to send my granddaughter out to the clothing stores, and see if she could find a Navy hat for me.
We've got Lemoore Naval Air Station right down the road here.
Oh, good. Well, I'll have her go there.
Well, there's just a couple more things I wanted to ask you about, and if there's anything else you want to add, please feel free. Before you lived at the Veterans Home here in Fresno, you were at the original California Veterans Home in Yountville up near Napa.
Right.
And while you were there, you took a trip with Honor Flight to go see the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. What was that experience like for you? What'd you get out of it?
Oh, that was great. That's really a fine service. Every veteran should be able to do that. I'm glad they're doing it. It was a thrill to see it and recognize what they've done for veterans.
What were you thinking about when you were at the World War II Memorial, seeing the names of every state and the Pacific and the Atlantic and those gold stars representing 400,000 Americans who didn't come home? What went through your mind when you were taking that all in?
It was very humbling to see that. Kind of made you sad.
Did they take you to the Women's Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery?
Yes. Yeah, that was an experience, too, that I hadn't expected.
Things have changed a lot for women in 75 years, haven't they?
Yes. Women fly combat planes now.
Uh-huh. And when you were serving in the Army as a nurse, there were women flying planes, but they weren't allowed to go overseas and fly combat.
Right.
Just fly them around the states, and some of them died doing that.
Yes.
In light of all that, did you ever feel, especially going to that women's museum, where it tells the story of the WASPs, who I'm talking about there, or the nurses, or the WAVES, or the SPARs, or all the different ways women contributed to the war effort. Did you ever get the feeling that maybe you were a trailblazer, that you paved the way a little bit for opportunities women would get later on?
I think so, yes. We're proud to do it.
I mentioned the 100th birthday party they threw for you here at the Veterans Home. The congressman came and congratulated you. I still see your 100 balloons over here. They still have a little air in them. But I was recently at a Fresno State basketball game, and the loudest cheer of the night, it started out as a cheer, and it just kept louder and louder and louder. And when they finally said, "Red Wave, please congratulate Jane Boot," the place went crazy, and it was deafening. And you were sitting there with some ROTC cadets soaking that all in. What kind of moment was that for you?
Oh, that was great. I really enjoyed that. I said to the guy next to me, I said, "This gives me a chance to sit next to young, good-looking guys." He, of course, just laughed.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think he'd ever had the opportunity to sit next to a 100-year-old World War II nurse before either.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there are very many of us.
No, there really aren't. And in light of that, I guess that's where I'll finish. You know, most of the people listening right now didn't live through World War II. They didn't hear the Pearl Harbor announcement on the radio. They didn't hear FDR talking about it. They didn't hear about the Doolittle Raid or Midway or anything that happened over that intense time of history. What's the most important thing that people today need to understand about that time in our country's history and what really happened?
Well, I think people who were not there should realize that those of us who were there, just people often said, you know, did you think about it? And we said, we didn't have time. You just did what needed to be done and went on. A lot of women that I've talked to said their husbands never talked about their World War II experience. When we went back to Europe on those flights recently, women would say that until they did this, you know, going there with their husband, that then he would talk about having been there. But she said they never talked. And that was a common thing. The guys just, you know, you pick up and go on, you know, rub a little dirt on it and don't make a big deal about it.
When veterans finally are willing to talk about it, the rest of us are so thankful for our newfound perspective. And Jane Boot has certainly added to that perspective today. We're out of time, but thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.